Amen. From Mark chapter 2, we're taking our message this morning. Do turn to it again, please. Mark chapter 2. From the early stages of our Savior's ministry, and like John the Baptist, his forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ came under intense scrutiny by the religious leaders of his time. Luke chapter 14 and verse 1 tells us that they watched him. And the reason that they watched him was to try and find something that they might have to criticize him, because his teaching contradicted and exposed their teaching and their hypocrisy. And their criticism had the aim of discrediting the Lord Jesus in order to turn the people away from him. Can I just say, as we commence the message this morning, that if they watch the Lord to find fault, they will watch us to find fault. The ungodly, the unsaved, and indeed even others of a religious persuasion. And while we can never be perfect, yet we should strive to live in such a way that will take away the rebuke of the ungodly, or the criticism of the ungodly. Now, the passage that we read this morning, it gives us one such example of this scrutiny and criticism of the Savior's ministry. It was the early part of the Lord's public work, and he was traveling from one place to another on a Sabbath day. And as he did so, his disciples, following on with him, began to pluck the ears of the corn to eat them. Such was their hunger. They hadn't perhaps had a proper meal because they were traveling from place to place. And so as they traveled by the side of the cornfields, they plucked the corn and they began to eat it. And it was at that point that the Pharisees, who were obviously traveling in the same company with the Lord and his disciples, following on to hear his ministry and his preaching in the next town or village, they saw the disciples engage in this, and they accused them of breaking the fourth commandment of the moral law of God. Look at verse 24. And the Pharisees said unto him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" And isn't it interesting, and I'm not contradicting what I've already said, but they watched the Lord, and it was only the disciples that they could find fault in. And it wasn't even a proper fault, as we will see in a moment or two. We'll just get some help for Joanne here, and just make sure everything's all right. Okay. So the disciples are finding, the disciples have plucked the ears of the corn. And the Pharisees latch on to this. And they accuse them of breaking the fourth commandment. Now the Savior's response is in verses 25 to 28. And he refers them to an incident in the life of David. And we'll say a little bit more about that as we get further into the message. But the Lord concluded his response by the statement you will see there in verse 27. And he said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath has been a subject much upon my own heart and mind over the last number of weeks. It's a subject that is often forgotten about and neglected. Indeed, it's the only commandment in the moral law that begins with the word remember. And that tells you something about the commandment. It's often forgot about. It's often neglected by men. Remember the Sabbath day. And though the Pharisees were wrong in their criticism of the disciples, yet this answer of the Lord Jesus, and indeed, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, it sums up and it sets forth the Savior's teaching on and about the Sabbath day. I think in this age in which we live, we do well individually as God's children, and we do well as a congregation to consider again the teaching, not merely of the Scriptures, but the Savior's teaching and the Savior's setting forth of the Sabbath day as an ordinance, an institution that His people are to observe. I want to say from this text and the Savior's response three things about the Sabbath this morning. I want you firstly to consider the institution of the Sabbath. And I'm emphasizing that phrase in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man. And I want to pick up for a moment on the word made. The Sabbath was made. The word made means established. The Sabbath being one day set apart from the weekly seven. And it was made. It was established. The principle, the teaching of a day of rest. For that's what the Sabbath means. The word literally just means rest. The Sabbath day, it was made or it was established. We might well ask the question, in fact, the questions, when was the Sabbath established? Who established the Sabbath? And who was the Sabbath established for? Those are all important questions, fundamental to having a right understanding of the Sabbath day. And we get the answer to all three of those questions by comparing and contrasting our text this morning. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, by comparing this verse with Genesis chapter 2. Turn back in your Bible to the second chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. It tells us, and on the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at it this morning. Let's read it with our own eyes and take it in. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. So, at the conclusion of the sixth day of creation, the evening of the sixth day, God concluded and ended and finished His work of creation. In the fourth commandment itself, it tells us that in 6 days, God made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Everything in the material universe was created within those 6 days of creation. But at the end of the sixth day, God ended His work. Not because He needed a rest, because He is omnipotent. God is never tired. He is all-powerful. He is the ever-existent God. But at the end of the sixth day and on the seventh day, He ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh. The reference, as I say, is not that He was tired, For he as eternal spirit, omnipotent spirit, he knows no such thing as tiredness. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. But he rested, he ceased, or he finished his work. And he rested or finished his work on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The word sanctified means he set it apart, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. This day, one in seven, as a rest day, was instituted, established, or made by God, the Lord of the Sabbath. It was made or instituted at creation. And it was made for man, that is, mankind, for Adam and all his descendants. Now you put all that together, for it's really, really important. The Sabbath was made or instituted by God, not man. It's not a man-made invention. It's not a religious invention. It's not an invention of an institution or an organization on this earth. It was instituted by God himself as our maker and creator. It was made at creation, like marriage. Marriage is a creation ordinance. He brought Adam and Eve together. One man and one woman. And for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Marriage and the Sabbath are creation ordinances from God. And it was instituted by God for all men. Not just one nation or people, namely the Jews. We live in a generation and in a world when not only do the ungodly and the skeptics not observe a Sabbath day, but what I have just outlined to you is vastly important, because even in modern Christianity tells us that the Sabbath was a Jewish ordinance. It was established in the times of Moses. It was ceremonial rather than moral. And therefore they conclude that the New Testament church and Gentile believers are not under any obligation to observe or to keep a Sabbath day. They go as far as quoting a number of verses. I'm not going to look them all up. I'm not going to turn you to them all. They quote verses from Romans 15 where we're not to judge one another in days that are observed. They quote Galatians 4, 9 to 11. But the favorite one that they turn to is Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it says, "Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And we are told, well, there you are, the Sabbath is mentioned, and it's a shadow, and we have the substance in Christ, so we're not obliged to keep the Sabbath day. And that's what modern Christianity will tell us. I don't want to delve into the depths of exegesis and exegeting this verse or going into the depths of exposition to explain it. But let me just point out to you in verse 16 that every other thing that is mentioned in this verse, in meat and drink, the holy days, the new moons, they are all in relation to the Jewish ceremonies. And let me also remind you that the Jews observed Sabbath days that were not the weekly Sabbath. Do you understand that? There was not only the weekly Sabbath, but there were times when there were extra rest days in Israel for certain feasts. We believe that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, there may have been a second Sabbath that week, because there appears to be a day missing in what they call the Passion Week. And it accounts for the Lord being 3 days and three nights in the grave. There were extra ceremonial Sabbaths. But I'm saying to you that the Sabbath in Colossians chapter 2, standing with the other ceremonies, does not appear to be a reference to the weekly Sabbath. Rather, it appears to be a reference to the extra ceremonial Sabbath, because everything else mentioned in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, is a reference to the Jewish ceremonies that were done away with in Christ, that were not creation ordinances, that were not part of the moral law. But I say to you again, because the weekly Sabbath is a creation ordinance, Jesus said for mankind. He didn't say the Sabbath was made for the Jew. He said the Sabbath was made for man, for mankind, for all men. Because it was instituted at creation, and because it is part of God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, that has never been done away, that has never been retracted, I put it to you that this is an institution made by God for all mankind, but particularly for believers in Christ to observe. And in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was observed on the seventh day to remember God resting from His works of creation. But in the New Testament, it is firmly established that the New Testament church observed the first day of the week. And I'm only giving you in passing the references. Acts 20, verse 7. They met for preaching in the Lord's table on the first day of the week. They came together in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 to give their tithes and their offerings to God's work on the first day of the week. John on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 1 verse 10, was in the Spirit worshiping the Lord. Oh, he was on his own, for he was there as a prisoner for Jesus Christ, but he was in the Spirit worshiping God on the first day of the week to remember and to mark the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath, one day set apart in seven. One day to be sanctified and set apart for rest, instituted by God at the beginning of time, to be observed, should be observed by all mankind, but certainly to be observed by God's people and those professing faith in Him. Turn back to Mark chapter 2. I want to say secondly, come to the second point this morning. We've emphasized the instituting of the Sabbath. It was made. It was established. And established by God for all men without exception. And it's to be observed, therefore, as a creation ordinance to the end of time. But I want you to notice secondly from Mark chapter 2, the intention for the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to pick up on one word here. It says, the words of the Savior, the Sabbath was made for. And I'm highlighting the word for. It was made for man. And then the Lord clarifies that, and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was established by God, instituted by God for man. And the meaning there is for man's benefit, for the good of mankind, for the good of individuals. God is not a killjoy, as some would have us to think. Oh, he's made one day and we can't do this, that, or the other on that day. And it's as if God is a killjoy in the eyes of many. Not at all. Rather than deliberately restraining us from things on the Sabbath, the Lord knows our frame. The Lord remembers that we are but dust. And therefore God, in His infinite wisdom, understands our needs as mere mortals. He knows that we need a weekly Sabbath for our good. And that's the thought. The Sabbath was made for man, for man's benefit, for man's good. And he understands our nature, our frame, our weaknesses, our limits, our inabilities. And in his wisdom, he instituted at the commencement of time one day to be set aside in seven for our benefit. How does it benefit us to observe a weekly Sabbath? Well, it does so in two ways. First of all, it is a day of physical rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. It simply means to rest. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the rest day. And just as God rested from creation works, we are to rest from our labors. God did not make us to work 7 days a week. It is physically impossible. We need a time to rest and refresh our bodily strength. And God, leading by example, rested from his works of creation on the seventh day to teach us that we need to rest, to come apart from our labors and our exertions, and to take time to recharge and re-strengthen our bodies once again. That's why within the fourth commandment it tells us, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, thine ox nor thy ass, or any that is within the stranger that is within thy gates, ourselves and those under our authority. We are to seek to have a day of rest for them. The question will always arise, if this first day of the week is to be set apart as a day of rest from our labors, are there exceptions? And the question is always asked, well, what is accepted? That's what the Lord was teaching in this very passage that we read today. He was teaching the Pharisees, there are exceptions. And he took a rather unique event. He said, do you remember David? Now, it wasn't an illustration about the Sabbath itself, but it was an illustration about the law. He said, do you remember David in the days of Abiathar? And he had to flee. He had to flee from Saul, who was seeking to put him to death. And as he fled, he had no food. And he and his men came to Abiathar the priest, and they were in hunger, verse 25. And what did he do? He went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest. And he did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, but for the priests. And gave also to them which were with him. The Lord had determined that the showbread was set apart, and it was only to be ate by the priests. But David, when he fled from Saul and he hungered, and he had nothing to eat, he went into Abiathar, and all that there was the showbread. And David ate the bread, the showbread. Did he sin? The Lord say, no, he didn't. Because it was an act of necessity. He was in hunger. He was starving. And therefore, to eat the showbread was not a sin to him. And that's where we get that term, works of necessity and mercy. The Lord Jesus went on to teach within his ministry that works of necessity and mercy were permissible on the Sabbath days. Matthew chapter 12, verse 11 is one of those examples. The Lord was healing. He was doing good on the Sabbath. And he was quizzed about it by the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 11. He repeats the phrase that we read in our passage in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. It's the same incident. And he goes on to heal a man with the withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath day in verse 10 of Matthew 12. And the question is asked in verse 10, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he answers in verse 11, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? An act of necessity to remove the sheep from the pit, an act of mercy to the sheep, not to leave it to the prey of the wolf or the bear. And so he's teaching that there are exceptions, and he describes it as an act of necessity or mercy. In Mark chapter 3, the chapter beyond which we've read today, and there in verse 4, this same theme comes up. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Sorry, he asked the question, is it lawful? And the answer is that it is. He gives the answer in Luke chapter 6 and verse 9. Therefore, I put it to you that if the Lord speaks of acts or employments of necessity and mercy, then it is up to each and every believer individually and sincerely to search their heart and conscience to decipher what are true works of necessity and mercy from unnecessary work. We are to rest from all unnecessary work, but the exception is there are employments of necessity and mercy that the Lord declares are lawful on the Sabbath day. So I'm saying that under the thought that how does it benefit man? How are we benefited in the Sabbath? We rest from our labors, but it is not only a physical rest. That's not merely what the Sabbath is. It's not merely a physical rest, but it is to be a spiritual resting. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it's H-O-L-Y, not W-H-O-L-L-Y. It's a day set apart for the holy things of God. It is a day that is to be given specifically to the things of God. That's why we come to God's house morning and evening. That's why we encourage you to read the Word of God and to read other sound and good Christian literature on the Lord's Day, to listen to other messages in your own home. It's to be a focusing of the mind and the heart on spiritual duties and activities that will benefit the soul. Man is so taken up with the physical and the temporal that if God hadn't set apart one day in seven for the spiritual things, he maybe never would have attended to them. But in the wisdom of God, seeing that we need a physical rest and we need to devote our souls to the things of God, the Lord, in his wisdom, said that one day in this New Testament era, it's the first day of the week, by the example of the New Testament church, he set it apart to rest our bodies from unnecessary labor and to give ourselves, our hearts and our minds to the things of God. That's the Lord's intention for the Sabbath. That's why he instituted it at the time of creation for mankind. And it leads me, thirdly, to my final point this morning. Turn back to Mark chapter 2. We've noted the institution of the Sabbath and the intention for the Sabbath. But verse 28, there is instruction about the Sabbath. For the Lord gives that little statement, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Master, the ruler, the Lord of the Sabbath. He's over it. And there's a very important thought there, and there's a reason why the Lord made this statement. He made this statement to show and to remind his accusers that nothing he would do on the Sabbath would break the Sabbath. His journey from one place to another to preach the gospel did not breach the fourth commandment. His healing of the man with the withered hand in the synagogue didn't desecrate or breach the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He is over the Sabbath. Nothing that he did broke the fourth commandment, for he was without sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And there's a very interesting and instructive point in that. Because if you want to know what you should do on the Sabbath or how you should keep the Sabbath, you can look at no better example than the Lord Jesus Christ, for He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And as you read the Gospels, you should pick out, what did the Lord do? What was the Lord engaged in? One great passage, and I'm not going to take the time to go down it all this morning, but read Luke chapter 4. There's something, perhaps if you get a little time this afternoon, Luke chapter 4 outlines numerous, it outlines the Sabbath in the life of the Savior. And as you read down that chapter, you will discover that it was his custom to attend the synagogue. He entered weekly into the synagogue. The synagogue was a local building that was devoted to prayer and the preaching of the word. The Jews went up 3 times a year to Jerusalem for the feasts and for the sacrifices. But the weekly Sabbath was observed in the synagogue. And in Luke chapter 4, we're told that it was his custom to be in the synagogue. And therefore it was his weekly practice to attend a public place of worship where prayer was offered, the word of God was read. You'll read this passage, by the way, from verse 14. I've just turned it up. From verse 14 onwards, you read about what took place on this Sabbath day in the life of the Savior. And what the Lord did, he attended the synagogue. He healed the sick. He preached the word. And you start to put those things together. There was an attendance at public worship. There was a serving of God. Acts of service for God are permissible. Acts of evangelism. He did good to others. He healed the sick. And you read down that passage, you will get a glimpse of how a Sabbath is properly spent. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And if you want an example of how to spend your Sabbath days, look no further than the person of our Savior. And seek to follow his example. The Sabbath was made for man. On this first Lord's Day, Christian Sabbath, back in God's house, after another period of closure, let us rededicate ourselves to the proper observance of the Sabbath. And it will benefit you physically and spiritually. And you'll be blessed of God, and the church will be blessed of God as we seek to follow his ways and adhere to his laws and walk in his ways. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, We thank Thee for the instruction from Thy Word. We thank You for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that He proclaimed the truth. We recognize that He lived in a day when the Pharisees had added to the law of God and were so strict that they made the Sabbath a drudgery for the people, where they couldn't even pluck the ears of corn to relieve their hunger. We acknowledge, Lord, we live in a different age when many are lax about keeping the Sabbath day unto the Lord. We pray sincerely and genuinely that Thou wilt help us from week to week. We know that none of us can ever observe it perfectly in its entirety. But, O God, help us from week to week to honor Thee by, Lord, engaging in spiritual activities, worship of the Lord, seeking, Lord, to rest our bodies as commanded by Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thy blessing will be upon us as we seek to do so. So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou wilt write Thy Word upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to go forth determined to follow Thee and obey Thy law and seek to live it out in our lives. Lord, bless the gospel broadcast tonight. Bring us back to Thy house for prayer on Wednesday evening and keep us each one safe and in the hollow of Thy hand until we gather again. We ask it in Jesus' name.